Hey, it's Brian Murphy here, and whether you're orchestrating a corporate gathering, gearing up for a team-building session, or just seeking a spot to savor thrilling sports and activities, the Clubhouse in Fremont is the go-to destination for bistro, bar, bocce, golf, and fitness. From team-building to private golf lessons on any one of 140 golf courses around the world, the Clubhouse in Fremont has you covered. Visit FremontClubhouse.com to learn more about their amazing amenities and private events. The Clubhouse in Fremont, the Bay Area's place to play.
All right, my next guest and I go way back to the Rise Guys morning show back in Sacramento when I was doing 5 to 9 a.m. and still hung over in the first segment from the night before. So it's been a long time since we've caught up on the air. We did some stuff at KNBR when I was here the last time. Matt Barrows covers the 49ers for The Athletic. Nice enough to join me tonight. Matt, how have you been?
It's been great. I don't think I was ever on the 5 a.m. slot. Thank God. This is a much more reasonable hour that we're doing this one today.
Oh, my gosh. You just get my start in the business. And then I remember you coming on and just being so nice all the time, so knowledgeable. So I can't thank you enough for coming on tonight. All right, let's get the fans set for football. We're still kind of knee deep in baseball right now. But with what the Giants are doing, I feel like attention is starting to turn toward the 49ers even more so than in a normal season because of a lot of different things. Jimmy G is going to be gone. We're all curious about Trey Lance and Debo, how they're meshing together. And I guess that's where we always start, right? You always got to start with the quarterback situation. And I've seen some things about Trey Lance and Debo not on the same page. Is that true? And if so, how long is that going to take for them to figure each other out and get on the same page and become like Jimmy G and Debo used to be?
Yeah, I think it is true, and it's not surprising. You know, is a real contrast between the two top receivers and where they are with Lance. Ayuk basically spent the off season with Trey Lance. They became best buds, and now in practices you sort of see that cohesion. Ayuk's had a very strong training camp. He's Ayuk's favorite target. He's Nate Sudfeld's favorite target when Sudfeld is under center. Debo Samuel just signed his contract. So, you know, he's going through his first practices, not just of the summer, but of the year. And, you know, that's resulted in few reps with Lance. So those two need to get on the same page. The great thing about Debo Samuel is that he's a force of nature. And he's going to get open and he's going to make sure that he gets open. He's just so strong and powerful, and there are ways to sort of manufacture that, obviously, with the short dump offs, you know, handoffs even. So I don't think that that's going to be a problem into the season. But I mean, yeah, you do go back to last year, and one of the reasons why Debo Samuel had the monster season he had was because he had a fantastic offseason. You know, he worked hard, he was focused. He was a man on a mission. This one has been interrupted to this point by the contract negotiation. So it's a good question about whether Samuel can possibly match his 2021 production just because he's had a very, very abbreviated offseason at this point.
Do you think the contract and signing that big a contract is going to affect his productivity? Because we've seen it before, man. When you sign that big contract, especially the wide receiver position. I don't think Debo's this guy, but that's the diva position now, if you will, in the NFL. And sometimes when guys sign that, it's human nature to take a deep breath. Has he done that, or is there a concern that he may do that?
You know, I don't think so. You know, like I said, he is a force of nature, and you can't sort of gin up the fight and the fire that he summoned last year. And I realize it was a contract year and he played lights out, and there's always sort of a question mark in people's minds. But like I said, you know, that's not anything you can kind of you know act up. You know, that's you either have that or you don't. He is a very, very competitive person. So I don't think that's going to be an issue this season.
I don't think so either. The voice you hear is Matt Barrows. He covers the Niners for The Athletic. Nice enough to join us tonight. Well, you talk about the dust-up the other day between Ayuk and Fred Warner. I mean, people were texting me and asking me about it. When you watch Hard Knocks or you've been around training camps before, this is commonplace, right? These guys are fierce competitors. It's all they're doing is practicing against each other. Maybe it doesn't happen this quickly, but this is a regular occurrence in training camps, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, under some coaches more so than others. Shanahan, actually, there hasn't been a lot of fights, or certainly a lot of memorable ones. You know, Mike Nolan, Mike Singletary, Vernon Davis, and people think that I exaggerate when I say this, but he got into a fight every day of practice. I mean, he was this was his rookie year, maybe his rookie year and the year after that. He was stronger than everybody else, and he was a bull in a china shop. And he threw the defensive players around, and they tried to stand up for themselves. And to Vernon's credit, he never backed down. Very, very strong guy, and he won. There's only one practice field fight that Vernon Davis didn't win, and it was against his own teammate, offensive player, and it was Larry Allen. And I can't remember why Larry Allen and Vernon Davis came to blows, but Larry Allen is like the size of a grizzly bear and has the strength of a grizzly bear. So that was the one opponent that Vernon Davis couldn't topple. But that's not a bad record. Losing to Larry Allen is nothing to be embarrassed about.
Oh my gosh, Vernon Davis, that would be pay-per-view with his size and strength. Oh my goodness, when you talk about what he brought to the table with his speed, he was a freak. I was a huge fan of his. Matt, talk about the secondary depth this season, and when can we see Jason Verrett back on the field? Because when you talk about Trey Lance and his development, I think it's huge that he's going against a better secondary every day. And one of the best defenses in the NFL.
Yeah, and he's going against a secondary that's liking to play this press coverage. So there are no easy throws that Lance is making. And I think that's what people need to keep in mind when they're looking at his very kind of humble stats that are coming. You know, it's 3 of 9 one day and 4 of 10 the next. This is against a really good pass rush and against really good defensive backs. And to your point, you know, the defensive backs have been really good, and that's without Jason Verrett, who hasn't practiced yet. They're hoping to get him back this month, but I don't think it's that. I don't know. Obviously, you'd rather have him on the active roster. You'd rather have him healthy. But even if he were still on an injury list to begin the season, that means that he comes off at some point, 6 weeks, 8 weeks into the year. And you have him in reserve. The reinforcements are coming if this defense ever has a lapse or there's an injury. You know that you're going to have him fully healthy, fully back up to speed, and that would be really the cherry on top of what's been a really good secondary. I mean, this is a team that really hasn't paid a lot of attention. They brought in Richard Sherman in 2019. But they haven't spent a lot of high draft picks at cornerback. They haven't really spent a lot of money at cornerback until this year with Charvarius Ward. And so far, he's been exactly what they hoped that they were getting, that they hoped that they were buying at that position, because he's definitely a number one cornerback, and he's showing signs of being a lockdown cornerback. And those are just so rare these days, just the way the rules have been written up, this, that, and the other. But he's getting a little bit better and better every year, and he's good at the one thing that D'Amico Ryans wants, which is getting up in receivers' faces, putting his hands on them, and basically making their life miserable from the snap onward. And he's been very, very strong to this point.
All right, this could be a stupid question for a guy that's been on the East Coast for the last 11 years. I still watch the Niners every Sunday. When's the last time they had a lockdown cornerback? Like lockdown.
Well, the lockdown, you got to go back to Deion Sanders.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah, he might be their one of their best cornerbacks. Jimmy Johnson in the 60s and early 1970s is probably their best homegrown cornerback. But, yeah, it's been a while. Like I said, for some reason – they haven't spent a lot of first-round picks at that spot. I think Mike Rumpf from 2002, I forget what year Rumpf was drafted. It was that era. Was the last time that they used a first-rounder at that position. So that's a long time. We're talking Bill Clinton, George Bush, first administration here. So It's been a while.
Anytime you get a Mike Rumpf reference in an interview, it's an awesome interview, no matter what happens from this point out.
Right.
Matt Barrows covers the Niners for the Athletics, and it's great to catch up with him. Talk about the new kids on the block, Matt. Do you see any rookies making an impact on this team this year?
Yeah, a bunch, actually. I think it's going to end up being a really good rookie class. They had 2 third-rouners. One was a running back, a big-bodied running back. That's another sort of departure from what they've done in the past. Ty Davis Price, he's, they brought him in for his size and his speed, and they want a guy that runs with violence and a guy that it's not going to get injured a lot. Even with the non-padded practices, you see Davis Price running that way. And it's something that the defensive players are talking about. So, when they talk about how strong and powerful a rookie is, that's a very good sign. And then the other one is someone who's sort of on the opposite end of the spectrum. He's a receiver, Danny Gray, fastest guy on the team. He had a really terrific practice the other day, and I think the 49ers liked that it wasn't just sort of kind of finesse plays where he's out running the defense. He was catching plays over the middle. On one, he had to sort of go up and out-wrestle a cornerback for a deep ball. That's precisely the type of kind of gritty play that they want to see out of him. So arrow up on both of those guys. And then the other guy that stands out is the 4th-rounder, and that's Spencer Burford. He's been playing right guard. He's basically right in front of Trey Lance, and he's taken 100% of the first-team snaps there. So as every practice goes on, it becomes more and more of a chance that this guy is going to be the starting right guard when they go to Chicago on September 11th.
Is Danny Gray Ronaldo Nehemiah fast?
He is Ronaldo Nehemiah fast, and he has a track background like Nehemiah. The 40, we'll have to wait and see if this proves to be correct, but the 49ers are adamant that he's more rough and tumble than Nehemiah was, and can kind of do, I mean, you don't want to compare anybody to Deebo Samuel. What he does is special, but break tackles, catch, swing passes and screens and kind of break through that initial defense to go deep down the field. And he can do that as well. So he's going to be somebody that I think is going to be fun to watch in the preseason because they're not going to put Deebo and Brandon Ayuk out there for very long, but I think they will with Danny Gray. So we should start seeing him a week from Friday when they host the Packers in that preseason opener.
Let's go. I'm ready for the Niners. I'm ready to come down to camp. I got my credential. I'm going to come down there and see you and kind of reintroduce myself to everybody in 49ers land. So I'm excited to catch up with you and get introduced to everybody down there. Hey, finally, are you heading to Canton to see Bryant Young get inducted to the Hall of Fame?
I am not. I mean, it's so hard for us if we're kind of covering the practices on a daily basis to get out there. That's when I wish I covered the Bengals or the Browns or the Steelers. Those teams don't have to travel. The writers, the reporters don't have to travel very much at all. But for us, it's a 5-6 hour trip. I wish I could, because BY, anybody who covered Bryant Young will say this, that he's one of the best people that's ever been in that locker room. Just a terrific guy, and he was a beast. You talk about Vernon Davis's strength. BY was stronger than Vernon. BY was a weight room maniac, and very hard to handle for offensive linemen, and that's precisely why he's in the hall right now, or going to be on Saturday.
All right, Matt. Well, thanks for your time. Thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. I look forward to seeing you soon.
All right, Epi. See you down there.
Matt Barrows covers the Niners for The Athletic. Nice enough to join us tonight. Thanks, Matt. I appreciate it. We'll see you.
Okay, anytime.
We got more on the other side. You're listening to The Sports Leader.
Hey, it's Brian Murphy here, and whether you're orchestrating a corporate gathering, gearing up for a team-building session, or just seeking a spot to savor thrilling sports and activities, the Clubhouse in Fremont is the go-to destination for bistro, bar, bocce, golf, and fitness. From team-building to private golf lessons on any one of 140 golf courses around the world, the Clubhouse in Fremont has you covered. Visit FremontClubhouse.com to learn more about their amazing amenities and private events. The Clubhouse in Fremont, the Bay Area's place to play.